We're looking at verse number 5 and 6. The book of Psalm 11, verse 5 and 6. And if you will, stand with me as we give honor to God's Word. Psalm 11, verse 5 and 6. And then we'll move over to Psalm 142, verse number 5. Here in Psalm 11, verse number 5 and 6, the Bible says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." Notice that last part. "This shall be the portion of their cup." Look over at Psalm 142. Psalm 142, keep hold of Psalm 11. We're going to look at Psalm 142, one verse. Psalm 142, verse number 5. Psalm 142, 5, the Bible says, "I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." Notice the Bible again. "Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." This morning I want to preach a message entitled, "What is your portion? What is your portion?" Father, we thank you again for today, and Lord, thank you for this opportunity that you've given me this morning on behalf of my pastor and our church to be able to stand behind this blessed pulpit to preach this blessed book. Father, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would be with me this morning. Help the words that I say be your words, not mine. Help them to be an encouragement and a help to those that have come this morning. And Father, if there's one here this morning that has not trusted Christ, there's one here without Jesus Christ, today I pray would be the day that they would come to know Him personally. Thank you again for all those that have come. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for what you're going to do and the invitation to follow. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 11, verse 5 and 6, we see here again, once again, "This shall be the portion of their cup." Psalm 142, verse number 5. Let me get back to that scripture there. Psalm 142, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." What is your portion? Portion meaning a part. I remember when I was growing up as a kid. Of course, I'm 51. I've been around just a couple years. When I was a boy, we used to gather around the table. And, of course, back in those days, we always ate at the table. I mean, for every meal that we were home, we ate at the table. We didn't eat in front of the TV. We didn't eat in other places of the house. We always ate at the table. And we didn't have a lot growing up, but we always had enough. And we was always very thankful for what we were given. But many times when Mom would dish out the plates, she would give us a certain amount of everything. She'd give us a portion of different things. We might have a little bit of meat, a little bit of vegetables, potatoes, but she'd give us so much, and they expected us to eat every bit that was on our plate. I mean, we didn't waste anything. Of course, back in those days, like I said, we didn't have a lot, so you ate. I mean, my dad's philosophy was, if you walk away hungry, it's your own fault. Eh? So we'd eat the portions that my mom would give us. And then she would ask us if we wanted more. And of course, me and my brother and sister, we'd always say yes. Now, the problem was, in the beginning days, before I learned my lesson real fast, we didn't finish the portion that Mom gave us. And, of course, Dad would not let us leave the table until we did. And even to this date, at 51 years old, when I put something on my plate, I eat it. And even if I suffer because of eating it, I'm cleaning that plate off. Whatever portion I get, I'm going to eat. You know, and in this life, we have a portion. We have a part. All of us are given a portion in this life. All of us decide what kind of portion we get. God has a lot for all of us. He has something to offer for all of us. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I hate to say, my friend, your portion's not very good. As Christians, the portion that God has given us because of our faith in Christ, it's wonderful. I got saved at the age of 18 years old. And like I said, I've been saved now almost 33 years, and I haven't regretted a moment of it. Has it always been easy? Not a bit. Are there struggles? Yes, there are struggles. Are there trials? Yes, there are. Persecutions? Oh, you bet. It's like I was telling my folks in class this morning. I work nights at the post office. I go to work at 9 at night till 5:30 in the morning. And last night, one of our young men that were there playing his music, he usually plays it pretty loud. The one song he was playing was cussing, just excessive cussing. It was a cuss word. Every other word was a cuss word. I can handle pretty much anything. I've learned to block things out. You know, it's not a big deal. And I'm not going to tell people what to listen to. It's their own business. But when I'm working, I can't handle it when it's a song just full of cussing. So I went up and I said something to him. And, of course, immediately him and the young lady that was with him, they gave me their looks and they were mocking and they were doing their thing. And I could tell that they didn't appreciate the fact that I was shutting their song off. Well, I'm one of those guys, you know, what you do in your own time outside of the workplace is your own business. Then once you get in that workplace, there's other people you got to think about. So, and then I was overworking, and next thing I know, this one young lady, she was every once in a while, she'd say the F word just for the fun of it. I know what she was doing. Look, when you're a Christian and you take a stand for Christ, you're gonna face stuff like that. But I guarantee you, the portion that God gives us as Christian far outweighs any trials, persecutions, or heartache we face. It doesn't make a difference what the world throws at us. It doesn't make a difference how hard the devil attacks. What God has given us in Christ is far more valuable than anything that the world has to offer us. So what is your portion in life today? If you're here without Christ today, you have a portion of hopelessness. You have no hope. Without Jesus Christ, what do you put your hope in? Do you put it in your job? Look, jobs fail, amen? Jobs come and they go. Unemployment is not going away in our world. It's going to be there all the time. There's no guarantees. You can get you a job and you can think you're as secure as you can be. And the next thing you know, it's done. I remember when I was in Bible college, I was at my last part and I was just graduating from Bible college. I was working for an insurance company that was high risk. And I was doing good. I started off at $7 an hour. That's been a few years back. Now you can work for McDonald's for $8.75. Still not worth it, but, you know. But I started out at $7 an hour. Within 2 years, I was making almost $11 an hour. After 2 years of working for him, I was doing well. When I got the job, I applied for a secretarial position because I had spent 10 years in the military. I was a glorified secretary. I knew how to type and file and all that stuff. I could get on a computer, on a typewriter, and I could do close to about 100 words a minute. So I could cruise with my fingers. I can still do it when I'm playing a game, too. I'm really good at that. I got good reflexes. Amen. You got to remember, I'm used to talking to kids. I like having fun. If you don't like having fun, you're in the wrong place. All right? But I remember when I got this job, you know, it's going really good. It come up to graduation time. I was at the place of graduation, and it was time to decide basically what direction I was going to go. I knew God had called me to the mission field. I went to counsel with Dr. Howes. Dr. Howes says, you know what you need to do? You need to stay here. You got a good job. You're secure. Stay here. Get your master's degree. And then by the time you get your master's degree, you should know what God wants you to do. But I just knew, inside I knew that's not what I needed to do. But, you know, he was the man of God. I try to listen to the man of God. Amen? I see some of you not half and shake here. Our pastor, I told class this morning, I love my preacher. He's a wise man. Now, is he going to make mistakes? Yes, he is. Just like everybody else. But a lot of times he tells me to do something. I listen because I know one fact, that he loves me. And I also know that he has my best interest in mind. He's not going to tell me to do anything that's going to hurt me. So I listened to Dr. Howes and I was thinking about it. And about 2 or 3 days later, I went to work on a Thursday morning. When I got to work on Thursday morning, the door was locked. Now, when you go to work on a Thursday morning and the door is supposed to be unlocked, it's normal business hours, that's usually not a good sign, amen? And door's locked and you don't have a key. The key you have doesn't work anymore. So it's like, okay. So I'm thinking, what in the world's going on? So the next thing I know, I get a call from my employer. And they said, we need to meet with you. I said, okay. Met with them the next day. Come to find out, the people that owned the company were closing that one down and they were moving everything to Florida. That fast. They gave us severance, you know, but they were going to move everything down to Florida. And they said, we're sorry, but we're done here. Now, out of all the people that were working there, there was only two of us that were offered a job in Florida. It was myself and another gentleman that was working there. They wanted me to move down to Florida, but I knew that's not what God wanted. God wanted me in the ministry, not pushing paperwork. I thought I was secure in that job. But I found out real fast that job does not provide security, doesn't provide me hope. You know, you can't find hope in jobs. You can't find hope in people. People are going to let you down. Amen? If you're without Christ, your hope, the only hope that you have is in what's around you. And what's around you is temporary. What's around you will not last. What's around you will fail you. People fail you. You will find out that even the closest ones to you sometimes will hurt you. Amen? You can't put your hope in those around you. You can't put your hope in the things around you. You can't put your hope in a world that will let you down. That's your portion. Without Christ, your portion is a world full of hopelessness. In Christ, our portion is a new family. Amen? In Christ, I have a new family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. Some are ugly. Most of them are ugly. No, just kidding. But look, I have a family. I mean, if I didn't have a mom and dad, if I didn't have brothers and sisters in Christ, I've got a family. All my family may have gone on before me, but at least as a Christian, I've got family. They're not blood brothers and sisters. But hey, I'm from Texas. I'm not from Montana. This is not my original home. My family is my church. And I'm very thankful for my church. I don't know what I would do without my church. We take care of each other, amen? If you're without Christ, you pray that those around you will take care of you. But in Christ, we have that security that we know we're going to take care of each other. Amen? My portion in Christ gives me that hope that no matter what happens, it's going to be all right. I mean, I'm doing good at the post office. I'm making good money. But there's no guarantee that tomorrow that job's going to be there. Post office could shut down. You say, no. There is no way. It is an institution. It's been around longer than Moses was around. But hey, my hope is not in what I do. My hope is not in the job that I hold. My hope is not in the people that I serve through the post office. My hope is in a Savior that gave His life for me. That's my portion. My portion is my new family. Without Christ, your portion is what's around you. This will be the only heaven you know if you're without Jesus Christ. And trust me, I know this place is not heaven. Amen? If you're here without Christ, not only do you have a portion of hopelessness, and as Christians we have a portion of family, but also as without Christ you have a portion of judgment. One day, we're all going to be judged. The difference will be is, without Christ, judgment is a lot worse. As Christians, our portion is the fact that we get rewards. Amen? You know, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm not ready to go, but I'm looking forward to it. How many of you are excited about heaven? How many of you don't care? Okay. I can't wait. I'm 51, like I said. There's parts. Last night I was working. I was at work. And this one particular job I was doing is these bulk packages of magazines. I hate magazines. I see so many magazines. I throw so many magazines. I don't want to look at a magazine. But last night I must have threw probably about 500 of these little packages of magazines. By the time I got done after 8 hours, I hurt. My body hurt. Every part of my body hurt. I got up this morning, but I hadn't been to bed yet. So I haven't got up. I'm still up. But I got home this morning and I sat in my chair and I just kind of, I said, honey, just make sure I move when it's time to go. Push me in the right direction and I'll be okay. I was like, man. But you know, in heaven, I don't have to worry about that. In heaven, it's all done. I get a brand new body. Amen? I'll actually have muscles. Instead of pretending like I have muscles. Yes. A six pack. I guess that's what they call it. Right now, I just got overlapped. Amen. In a few places. Look. It's going to all be good. It's going to be great. My portion is that one day I get to enjoy all that heaven has to offer. I get to put my socks on and slide down the streets of gold. Amen? I wonder if we're going to have snowboarding in heaven. I just took up snowboarding last year. Last year my kids talked me into it. I love it. It hurts, but I love it. I went a couple weeks ago. And I just had so much fun going up and down and up and down and up and down. And then the next day, when I got down, I couldn't get back up. It was terrible. I know maybe when I get to heaven one day and I'm bored, if I don't know if it's going to be there or not, you know, it's one of those things. But if there is, I just know when I go up and down and up and down, I'll be able to get up no matter what. Nothing's going to hurt. Nothing's going to ache. There's not going to be any disease. There's no such thing as cancer. No more tears. No more heartache. No more suffering. But if you're here without Christ, your punishment, your suffering is only beginning. It's only beginning. One of these days, if you're here without Christ, and I, you know, people talk about nowadays, they don't want to hear doom and gloom. But look, the Bible says that there's a place called hell. If God said it, it's true. I can only preach what I know the book says. The book says that without Jesus Christ, your destination, your portion is a place called hell. Mark chapter 9. I'm going to look at Mark chapter 9 real quick. Matthew. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, here in verse number 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to go enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The Bible talks about the worm dying not, the fire is not quenched. How many of you have ever been really close to a fire? Well, come on now, everybody's been really close to a fire. What happens when you stand really close to a fire for a long time? You get burned. It hurts. It's very painful. It's almost as if you put your hand in the fire. Can you imagine spending eternity in a place in the fire, feeling that same pain and suffering and nothing to quench it? Nothing. You think you suffer now? You think this world causes suffering? You think the pain that you deal with now is unbearable? Wait till hell. It's a real place. I wouldn't be preaching this book if I didn't believe that. I didn't want to go there. That's why at 18 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. I received Him as my Savior. I was so afraid that I would die and go to this place called hell. And I'm glad that I trusted in Him because I don't want to see it. And now I spend my life trying to keep others out of it. And I encourage you this morning, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, please don't wait till it's too late. There's no second chances after you go into the grave. Some people got this ideal, and it's taught in our world today, that once you get in the grave and you meet God, then you can take care of business then. Well, once you say goodbye, and once they bury you 6 feet under, there are no second chances. You're not going to be able to stand in front of God and say, well, God, now I am ready. Because God will say, it's too late. It's too late. Folks, if you're without Christ, your portion in this life is just judgment. The only thing you got to look forward to is judgment. Judgment from God and cast into the lake of fire. As Christians, we have heaven to look forward to. Amen? We have rewards. For us, our portion is blessings. Blessings from God. Our portion is desires. God gives us the desire of our hearts many times. Our portion is opportunities. Opportunities to do things for God. We have a portion in Jesus Christ. Because of that portion, great things can happen in our life if we allow Him. But there's a lot of Christians today that don't take advantage of the portion God's given them because they're just lazy. Amen? I tell my kids, nothing in life worth having is free. And it's the same in the Christian life. You want something? First you got to give something. You want God's blessings? First you got to give. God don't bless lazy people. Amen? God doesn't reward unfaithfulness. He doesn't reward laziness. He doesn't reward slackers. He doesn't reward those that are indifferent, uncompassionate, unkind. God rewards those that are faithfully serving Him, being a help and a minister to others. I tell my kids all the time, we're in this life not for ourselves, we're in this life for others. Others. That's what they know in our house. What's the motto? Others. I'm not in this life to see what I can get. I'm in this life to see what I can give. I love giving. I love helping. That's why I love doing junior church. Most people can't handle junior church after an hour of spending time with about 40 kids, 50 kids. You'd be pulling your hair out, whatever hair you have left. That's right. Brother Andy, I love you, brother. Yeah. You can tell that in his early years as a Christian, he was a youth pastor. No, I'm just kidding. I love working with kids. I love to be able to give. I love to help those kids. There's so many of them. I remember so many times working the bus ministry at Hiles Anderson when I was going through Bible college. Young lady, I remember telling this story. A little girl, 7 years old, came up to me and said, Brother Ortiz, can you pray for me? Well, I said, sure, honey. What do you want me to pray about? Well, my daddy left today. What do you say to a 7-year-old child whose dad just walked out on her? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Go get on the bus. You know, I love helping and being a blessing and encouragement. I've had kids sit in my lap and blow their nose in my tie. Hey, ties wash. Amen? Wash them off and reuse them. Some of you are thinking, oh no, that just no way. I just couldn't do it. Now, of course, I don't drink after the kids, all right? My own I would, but not them. No, 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 no. When you see stuff floating around, and now you just can't do that. But look, I love kids. I love helping where I can help, being a help to someone. Look around, folks. For us that are in Christ, if you're here today, you're saved. When's the last time you looked around you and saw somebody in need, and then when you saw them in need, you tried your best to meet that need? Well, how many of us saw that need and all we did was just pray? Now, I'm not against prayer. I believe prayer works. But if you have the means to take care of something, don't get on your knees and pray about it. Get it done. Prayer, so many times, excuses us from doing what we know we should do. I'll pray about it. Let me pray about it. You know what you have. You know what you're able to do. There's some things you don't have to pray about. Amen? Look around you. You have the opportunity to be a blessing to many people. God gives you a portion of opportunities to help others, to live life outside the box, helping those around you. Amen. He gives us the desires of our heart, gives us blessings, gives us so many things we don't deserve. I'm still waiting for my motorcycle. But evidently, God knows I don't need one right now. I've got it pictured already. It's a BMW. Ooh. It's S1000R. It is beautiful. It's black. Oh, I tell you what. You sit on that thing, and as soon as you sit on that thing, your body goes into convulsions. And all you can do, you can feel it. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I love motorcycles. When I was in Nepal, I had a motorcycle while I was on the mission field. I love that thing. It only had a 225cc motor, but let me tell you what, I could make that thing fly. It was fun. I remember one day, I got up to a red light, and I'm sitting there, and some kid pulled up next to me. Just a young guy. Couldn't have been more than about 17, 18 years old. Back over there, they start driving at probably about 14. When he pulls up to me in his motorcycle, he looks over at me and smiles. I'm thinking, okay. He starts revving his motor up. And sometimes we do stupid stuff. He started revving his motor. So, what did I do? I just waved at him and sat there. No. He revved his motor. I revved my motor. I revved it up. I started revving it up. And I was playing with my clutch. Doing that kind of stuff, huh? When that light turned green, I took off. I left that poor kid in the dust. It was so fun. And I almost hit a car. Look, God gives us the desires of our hearts. There's a lot of times God gives us things that we don't deserve. Actually, most of the time He gives us stuff that we don't deserve. The best we deserve is hell. But yet, because of our portion in Christ, there's so many things God does for us and gives to us. And we don't deserve it. I'm so glad my portion is in Christ. So, if you're here without Christ, your portion, of course, is hopelessness. Your portion is judgment. Our portion is family. Our portion is rewards. Not only that, for you all, if you're here without Christ, your portion is eternal condemnation. Look, one of these days, the final end's going to come. Everyone has to die. Amen? The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death comes to all, and death is no respecter of persons. Just recently, one of our young ladies, bless her heart, lost her little boy. He was only 2 years old. It's one thing when older folks die, but it's difficult for me when it comes for a child. It's hard to see. But you know what? I think he's a lot better off right now. But death comes. Death is not a respecter of persons. Death doesn't come up and say, well, you're only 10 years old, so you're not ready yet. When God says it's time to go, it's time to go. No matter what you do, you're not going to prevent it. You can take all the vitamins you want to take. You can run 50 miles a day. You can exercise every day. You can go to your doctors and make sure everything's going straight. But you can walk out of your doctor's office today as a picture of health. Step outside that door and die of a heart attack. Because death is no respecter of persons. Death comes to all of us. And without Christ, your death is only the beginning. Because in hell, it's eternity. eternity of suffering and pain and punishment. And I believe in hell it's going to be an eternity of remembrance. Remembering the opportunities that you had to come to Christ. I can't show you from a Bible as far as that goes, but I believe that you will remember the day that you heard how to go to heaven and you chose to reject it. It will constantly haunt you throughout eternity. In Christ, we have a portion of eternal peace and rest. We know that once this life is done, then our living just begins. This is not life here. This is temporary. This home is temporary. Amen? This is not where it ends. Death is where it ends here. There's when life begins. Woo-hoo. I'm excited. I told you this before. I can't wait. I'm kind of hoping I'm in an elevator when God calls me. You ever thought about it? Push the elevator, you want to go up to the top floor. Instead of going to the top floor, you reach heaven. Wouldn't that be exciting? The door opens up and God and Christ is right there saying, "Welcome home, son." And you come running off the elevator into the arms of Jesus Christ. Amen? That would be so exciting. Or walking up a set of stairs, like in a hotel. And when you open up the door thinking you're going onto your floor, you're like, "Oh, yes!" Amen? Am I the only one that has dreams like that? Come on, you people normal or what? All right. It's exciting. I know, because up there is peace and rest. I don't have to worry about it anymore. All will be well. My suffering will be over. I don't have to watch my family suffer anymore. I don't have to watch them in pain. My wife here about 3 months ago had hip replacement surgery. Hardest thing for me to do is to watch her. To see the look on her face. To see the pain in her eyes. It's just difficult. One of these days I don't have to see that no more. I won't have to see it in any. In my family. My mom and dad, I got to see them recently. Their health is failing them. Both of them look so frail. But in heaven, I don't have to see that no more. They'll be probably healthier than I will. I don't know. But, you know, my portion in Christ ensures that one day I'll have eternal peace and rest. But without Christ, your portion is just eternal suffering. Eternal suffering. Like, you decide what portion you're given in life. You decide what portion you want. You can live your life and say, "I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And one of these days, I'll take care of business and then I'll get serving God. Or I'll get things right. Or I'll come to Christ." I don't know how many stories I've heard of people who said, "I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. I'm going to wait just a little bit longer." And they never made it to the streets of glory. Because just before they were about to do what they were supposed to do, death came and they lost it. And now they're spending eternity in hell. I've got a grandfather that's in hell right now. I have no doubts. No doubts. I have family members right now that are in hell. Because they're, "I'm going to wait. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet." Well, the honest truth is you're never ready. You just might as well just take care of it to make sure everything's good. Why do you buy life insurance? You buy life insurance for the day that you die, right? So that your family's taken care of. But you don't know when that day's going to come, do you? So you pay money and money and money. But yet you will wait and risk the loss of your soul because you want to enjoy life first before you come to Christ. Your portion will be eternal suffering if you don't take care of business before it's too late. Like, what is your portion? What portion are you choosing? What portion have you chosen for your life? Have you chosen the portion that comes without Christ? Have you chosen the portion that comes with Christ? I pray today that if you're here without Jesus Christ, that you would choose the portion that comes with Him. He has a lot to offer you. Now, my friend, I can't force you to take that path. I can't force you to go the direction that I chose to go at 18 years old. All I can do is tell you what the Bible says and point you the right direction. You have to make that choice. You have to make that choice. But please, please, don't wait till it's too late. And Christian, you have a portion in Christ. Don't waste the portion that God gives you living your life for yourself. Live for Christ with every moment that He gives you. Make your life count. Great rewards come to those that serve greatly. I want to be able to stand in front of Him, hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But not only that, the Bible talks about crowns. I want to have a lot of crowns to cast at my Savior's feet. I want to have a lot of rewards that I can turn around and say thank you and throw them right back at Him. And throw them back at His feet and bow before Him and thank Him for a life that He gave me. I'm so glad the portion that Christ has given me, and I pray today would be the day that you would come to find out what that portion can do for you if you've never trusted Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank you again today. We pray that you would just bless now the invitation time. Father, the portion that you've given us in Jesus Christ, what a blessing, what an enjoyment, what a great thing it is to have our portion in you. All that you do for us, Lord. And so much we have to look forward to. And so many opportunities we have here while we're still alive. Pray this morning if there's one here without Jesus Christ, one that has never asked Jesus to come into their heart to save them, pray God, please help them to do that today. Help them to see their need for Jesus. They need Him. And Father, I hope they don't leave today without Him. Bless the invitation time today as only you can. Heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays this morning. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to their feet. Everyone standing this morning, if God spoke to your heart this morning, why don't you come? Maybe, Christian, this morning there's some things that you need to get taken care of, some things in your heart and life that God's been dealing with. Maybe your life is not what it should be. Maybe there's some areas that need to be worked on. Well, this morning can be that opportunity where you come and bow before a holy God and get things taken care of. And then get up off your knees and go out and do what you said you're going to do. So as the piano plays, you come this morning. My friend, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, let me ask you this question. Do you know for sure if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% sure without a doubt that if you died at this very minute, that you would wake up in glory, standing before the Almighty God of heaven? If you're not 100% sure, or if there's doubts right now, why don't you get that taken care of today? Why don't you come and I'll meet you down at the front. I'll have one of our men meet you down at the front. We'll show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. It's very simple. Very simple. Very simple, very easy to do. The piano's playing. If you need to come this morning, you come. The altar's open. You come. Good to see everyone this morning. Pray you come back tonight, 6 o'clock, for our evening service. You get to put up with me one more time. Actually, a couple more times. But anyway, we do appreciate all the visitors coming. Thank you so much for coming. And just thank you for allowing us to be a blessing to you, because you've been a blessing to us by showing up this morning. And hopefully you'll come back. If you get an opportunity, come back. And especially hopefully you'll get the chance to come back when preacher's here. You'll enjoy our preacher. He's a big guy. But he's like a big teddy bear. He's a little rough. He's a little rough around when he speaks to you sometimes. But the one thing you'll never doubt when it comes to our pastor is how much he loves you. And he does. He loves, whether you're a member of our church or you're just visiting our church, you won't find a man that I know of that'll love you and treat you the way he will. And so please come back and at least meet him. He'll be back next Sunday. And again, I pray that you have a good day. We're going to pray and dismiss. Thank you for coming. Father, we thank you again for today. Help us now as we dismiss. Thank you for all those that did come. Thank you for our visitors. And pray, God, they received a special blessing tomorrow, this morning from our services. And Father, I pray that you would just work and continue to work in the hearts of those that are here. And Father, that the message would reach home. And if there is things that need to be taken care of, Lord, whether it was done at the altar this morning, or maybe it might be taken care of at home, I pray that folks would just get things right. And if there is one here that's without Christ, I pray that, Lord, they would come to know you as their personal Savior. Come to know what it means to have their portion in you. To know all the true joy that comes with being called a Christian. Thank you for your love and your blessings. Thank you for the beautiful day. Help us to do what we can for you. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.